Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Brian London. He is the editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference, which is coming up in really a matter of weeks. So I do want to highlight that I think if anyone's able to get down to New Orleans and wants to meet some of the companies and some of the speakers, it's definitely worth your time. I will be posting a link below this interview to Brian's conference so you can get more information on that conference. Brian, let's focus as we usually do on the precious metals. Big picture, today we are seeing kind of a general rebound when it comes to the broad averages. We have the U.S. equity markets. Those are all up, let's call it around 1.5%. We're seeing gold relatively flat here on the futures. It's down about $3, still holding above that 1750 level, but we are seeing some positive moves in the gold stocks. You look at GDX, GDXJ, those are up about 1%. Let's say GDXJ right around that percent. GDX has come down a little bit from its highs. It's up about, let's say, 0.5% right now. We have seen a little bit of a divergence here between the stocks and the metal where the stocks have started to recover. Now, that is after they did break down at the end of last month and last quarter. This recovery was very much needed. What do you take away from this action we've seen here, Brian, where the stocks were underperforming, they've started to outperform, but again, we're at these low levels. It could just be nitpicking, but it is always good to see stocks going higher.
Yeah, Corey, you know, we're doing right now is we're looking for rays of sunshine, you know, peeking out from behind the clouds here and there. Yes, silver has occasionally outperformed gold in recent days, not really consistently like we'd like to see. We are seeing that the mining stocks are starting to outperform gold. We're starting to see that the silver stocks are outperforming the gold stocks, but it's like we'll see a couple of days of this and get our hopes up. And then, you know, two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, two steps back. It's hard to get that kind of consistent trend to get us and the rest of the markets, you know, really excited. So sentiment is down. It doesn't appear to be something in the near term that's going to turn it around. You know, and if you have to step back, if you can get yourself to step back, and kind of divorce yourself of these emotional swings, it's generally a good time to be in the market. You know, it's a good buying opportunity, generally speaking. Not that we're going to have a big turnaround today or tomorrow. We could, but nobody really knows. It could be, you know, not until January that we're going to get out of this malaise and get some clarity as far as, you know, what the Fed's going to do, how inflation is really shaping up, et cetera, et cetera. Before we get some kind of a consistent theme to the market or trend and people really get behind the metals. I think it's going to happen eventually, but in the meantime, we're in kind of a muddled market and searching and grasping for straws for reasons to go higher. We'll have to see, you know, but generally it's not a bad time to be positioned at these levels in some of these mining stocks, junior mining stocks in particular.
Well, Brian, you've set it up perfectly that it's a muddled market with a lot of malaise. So we're trying to figure out what direction things are going to break. There's still a lot of bears on the side that believe metals may break lower and that the weakness in miners is signaling that. But there are a few green shoots, like the divergence of the precious metals to the general markets the last week or two and some of the other factors you highlighted. As far as coming up catalyst, we do have the Fed meeting in November, which will probably be where we get whatever their direction is going to be on the taper situation. But coming up tomorrow is the jobs report. How do you feel the non-farm payroll report could affect things one way or the other, Brian?
Yeah, you know, the way the markets are set up now and really have been for the last decade or so is it's all about Fed policy and not what the impact is of a jobs number on the economy or over the long term, but how is it going to influence the Fed's decisions right now or tomorrow or at the next meeting. So that's all they're looking at. So if we have a downside surprise, something in the $300,000 to $400,000 range on the jobs number, on the September jobs number, then, you know, I think gold and stocks soar or at least have a really nice up day because there's the potential that the Fed might kick the can down the road a little bit. if we have a solid jobs number or especially an upside surprise, something in the 600,000 to 700,000 range, then I think equities and gold stocks get hit because of what that means for Fed policy, that now, you know, they have some room to actually start tapering. The Fed meeting in November will be the next big thing. You know, every time we come up to a Fed meeting, it's just, you know, the stakes are super high, and they're as high as they were since the last Fed meeting. And so the markets just live from Fed meeting to Fed meeting, from jobs number to jobs number. And it's all about the direction of monetary policy and how they want to bet on that. So it's pivotal tomorrow. Of course, it is every month, but it is important tomorrow to get some idea on what the Fed's going to do in November.
Yeah, and we also need to be watching those U.S. equity markets too, right? Because we all know that as much as the Fed wants to say they're data dependent, they are closely watching those markets, and any weakness in the markets usually does delay any tightening of monetary policy. One thing I want you to address here, Brian, is Jerome Powell's even come out and said inflation is frustrating. It's sticking around longer, it seems like, than the Fed and other central banks thought. We continue to see generally higher inflation. Now, it's not runaway inflation, but it is higher than central banks and a lot of other people who are harping on that transitory narrative thought it would be. However, this doesn't seem to be helping the metals. To your point about two steps forward, one step back, really seems like the metals have been going two steps back, one step forward. Why hasn't this really sticky, higher inflation helped metals, precious metals, more?
Well, a lot of reasons. You know, number one, if you look at what the metals did last year, right after COVID hit, you know, the gold went up about 30% and has given back about a third or half of those gains since then over a very long bear market. But if gold is hyper predictive and hypersensitive, then back then it was predicting not only the Fed policy prescriptions, but also the fiscal spending. Now the fiscal spending seems in doubt. Now we don't know whether inflation is going to be transitory. Now we don't know if the Fed's actually going to attempt to taper and be able to do so. So there are a lot of big ifs out there that the markets haven't figured out, and gold, even if it is hyper-predictive, can't figure out either. So we have to see how we get through this period. But the broader trends of, you know, ultra-easy policy, of markets that are addicted not just to easy money, but ever easier money, of ultra low interest rates for well over a decade that have prompted just huge accumulations of debt that prevent any significant rise in interest rates because of the debt service costs. All of this stuff is coming to a head, and it could come to a head within the next few weeks. It could be the next few months. It could be over the course of the next year. So that's kind of what I'm continuing to preach to people. Nobody knows what's going to happen over the next few weeks or months. And don't believe anybody who tells you that they do. It's just too much at stake, too many variables. But a year or so down the road, you're going to be glad if you are in the metals, if you're in the mining stocks at around these levels, because they're bargains right now. And all of these big mega trends are going to be resolved at some point. And they're going to be resolved, I think, very dramatically so, in the favor of the metals.
Well, Brian, couldn't another thing be, we were mentioning this off mic, but it may be relevant to mention here, that a lot of the generalist traders are using an inflation perspective that's much more aligned with the Fed's, you know, transitory comments, because they're looking at the tips for their inflation readings, which are somewhat massaged by the Fed, and they have a heavy hand in that, versus the actual inflation that we're seeing in the CPI numbers, which is quite a bit higher than that. So do you think that that's a factor that's causing many of the generalist investors to kind of shrug off the current inflation and just run with the narrative that, oh, it's just a few supply chain interruptions? They're not looking at the higher wages. They're not looking at the high energy inputs. They're not looking at the fact that, no, we really are having stickier inflation. Could that be part of why there's this weird environment where there is higher inflation? We can all see it, but yet the precious metals haven't responded as much as one would think they would?
Yeah, absolutely, Chad. That's been one of my big points of emphasis in Gold Newsletter over the last couple of months, because the inflation, you know, the price of gold and silver is set in New York by professional traders who are pros. So they look at forward inflation expectations as implied by the TIPS markets. But there, number one, as you mentioned, the Fed buys at least a quarter of the TIPS itself. So really fat finger on the scale distorts that market. The other thing is everybody else who buys TIPS is a professional trader. So it's a feedback loop. And they're believing what the Fed is saying. The Fed's reaction is overemphasized by the fact that everybody who is believing what the Fed is saying is buying the same securities that implied forward inflation expectations. So that really dampens the implied rate of inflation. If you measured inflation and real rates as they were in the 1970s, you would simply use the CPI. And if you do that, then you see that real rates are now in the range of 4 to 5% negative, which is the deepest levels that they were at in the 1970s. And it goes even further than that. If you look at the CPI and you take out, say, real estate is factored into the CPI by implied owner's rents, which is some weird number that has no real reflection in reality and dampens the actual price increases in the real estate market. If you used actual increases in home prices in the CPI instead of that implied owner's rents, the CPI would actually be in the double digits, like 10 to 12% right now, showing that level of inflation, which, you know, even on a nominal basis, is up there in the worst levels we saw in the 1970s. So that would imply just even real rates that are so far negative, far net more negative than we even saw in the 1970s. The difference being, of course, is that rates can't rise right now as long as the Fed is able to keep them down.
So, Brian, how can, I guess, from what I'm hearing, what the data is showing and what the actual, maybe true numbers are when it comes to inflation and just how stuck the Fed is in terms of raising rates, how can the market be so wrong then to be discounting the precious metals trade? Because, look, the precious metals trade has been ignored. The stocks are still under pressure and the U.S. equity markets continue to do fairly well, even after a bit of a pullback that we thought should have brought some more interest into the precious metals. Why are the markets so wrong?
Well, gold is a barometer of people's worries regarding their own currency and the depreciation of that currency. So that brings up a number of factors in that, are we really worried about the dollar when there are much more worse currencies out there, or at least everybody's, you know, in the same boat, the same leaky boat? So there isn't that kind of a worry right now, but I believe it is coming with this kind of inflation, with the fact that foreign central banks are starting to hike rates because they're getting these inflationary pressures, but also because they can, because they don't have the kinds of debts that we've amassed because of our status as the world's reserve currency. So they can raise rates to an extent that we can't. That would imply that down the road, as they keep raising rates, these other currencies will strengthen vis-a-vis the dollar. So gold really doesn't get moving until people really get worried. If you look at the long history of gold as an inflation hedge, and a lot of pundits point this out, that gold really isn't a great inflation hedge, and they can point to all these specific periods where it underperformed other inflation hedges. If you want a perfect inflation hedge, you need to invest in energy because it's the only asset class that's actually included in the CPI component or calculations. But gold, what gold does is it just languishes along, doesn't do much as long as people are content and don't see apocalypse ahead. When they start to get worried, then it makes up for lost time, and then it really soars and takes off. And I think we're getting to that point. The more that gold kind of muddles around along with the rest of the markets right now, the more it will make up lost time when people really, really get worried. And it just looks like all the macro trends are pointing toward all that coming to a head in the relative near future.
Well, Brian, just in the mundane world of our beleaguered mining stocks, I wanted to ask you a question I've asked a couple other folks just to get your thoughts on it. Do you think it'll take for the generalist interest to come back to the precious metal sector? I know that people that invest in the metals are doing it for a different reason than people that invest in the miners. But do you think it'll be that fear that you were just alluding to, or a shock to the monetary system that causes the generalist to get interested in gold and silver again as a safe haven? Or do you think that the generalist investors are finally going to start looking at the balance sheets of some of the larger producers and even some of the royalty companies and possibly rotate some money out of the overvalued, like say tech sector and some of the other sectors that are at two or three standard deviations above where they normally trade, and say, hey, wow, look at these mining companies. They're actually making money. They actually cleaned up their act a little bit. We've got some mega mergers happening now. Do you think that there'll be some interest in the generalist into the mining stocks just in their own right as a business, or will it take that fair trade to get people back into the safe haven of the precious metals?
Yeah, I think really a little bit of both. I think you're going to have to have that fear trade, that worry about the underlying currency, that belief that the Fed is going to have to maintain ultra easy monetary policies for the longer term rather than tighten things and try to normalize things to any great extent. I think you're going to see, in other words, a sustained uptrend in the metals before you get that generalist interest back into the mining stocks. So you need them to get excited about it. You need them to look at it. And rising gold and silver prices will do that. Obviously, if they were simply looking at values right now, they would be looking at the mining stocks. And although we've seen some positive things over the last few days in the mining stocks, overall, the generalist investors have been ignoring gold and silver stocks so far. We're going to have to see some consistency in the metals themselves before they start to take interest.
Yeah, that's so true, Brian. And that's one of the, I guess, problems with the miners when they are so tied to a metal. If that metal is going lower, then, well, it hurts their pricing capability, right? Because they can't set the price of their product. One of the issues that they can struggle with as metals are correcting. But hey, hopefully some of these moves, these short-term moves in the stocks, will get some more investors in, and hopefully they continue, because it was a tough end to last month, but at least we're starting this month off on a little bit better of a foot. Brian, great chatting with you as always, buddy. We'll chat in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great weekend.
Wonderful. Thank you, Corey and Shad. Great talking with you as always.